Chapter 69. The long black limousine eased to a quiet stop at the main gate of Castro's hunting lodge in the hills southeast of the city. One of the two flags mounted on the front bumper symbolized the Soviet Union, and the other marked the passenger as a high-ranking military officer. The visitor's house outside the fenced estate was the headquarters for Castro's elite bodyguard force. A man in a tailored uniform, but showing no insignia, walked slowly up to the car. He looked at the shadowed form of a big Soviet officer sitting in the darkness of the back seat, and at the identification that was held out the window. "Colonel General Kolchak, you do not have to prove yourself to me." He threw a wave-like salute. "Juan Fernandez, Chief of Fidel Security." "Don't you ever sleep?" "I'm a night owl," said Fernandez. "What brings you here at this ungodly hour?" "A sudden emergency." Fernandez waited for further elaboration, but none came. He began to feel uneasy. He knew that only a critical situation could bring the Soviet's highest-ranking military representative out at 3:30 in the morning. He wasn't sure how to deal with it. "I'm very sorry, sir, but Fidel left strict orders not to be disturbed by anyone." "I respect President Castro's wishes. However, it's Raúl I must speak with. Please tell him I'm here on a matter of extreme urgency that must be dealt with face to face." Fernandez mulled over the request for a moment and then nodded. "I'll phone up to the lodge and tell his aide you're on your way." "Thank you." Fernandez waved to an unseen man in the visitor's house, and the electronically operated gate swung open. The limousine drove up a curving road that hugged the hills for about 2 miles. Finally, it pulled up in front of a large Spanish-style villa that overlooked a panorama of dark hills dotted by distant lights. The driver's boot crunched on the gravel drive as he stepped around to the passenger's door. He did not open it, but stood there for nearly 5 minutes, casually observing the guards that patrolled the grounds. At last, Raúl Castro's chief of staff came yawning through the front door. "Colonel General, what an unexpected pleasure," he said without enthusiasm. "Please come in. Raúl is on his way down." Without replying, the Soviet officer heaved his bulk from the car and followed the aide over a wide patio and into the foyer of the lodge. He held a handkerchief over his face and snorted into it. His driver came also, keeping a few steps behind. Castro's aide stood aside and gestured toward the trophy room. "Please make yourselves comfortable. I'll order some coffee." Left alone, the two stood silently with their backs to the open doorway and stared at an army of boar heads mounted on the walls and the dozens of stuffed birds perched around the room. Raúl Castro soon entered in pajamas and silk paisley robe. He halted in mid-stride as his guests turned and faced him, his brows knitted together in surprise and curiosity. "Who the devil are you?" "My name is Ira Hagen, and I bear a most important message from the President of the United States." Hagen paused and nodded at his driver, who doffed her cap, allowing a mass of hair to fall to her shoulders. "May I present Mrs. Jessie LeBaron? She's endured great hardship to deliver a personal reply from the President to your brother regarding his proposed U.S.-Cuban friendship pact." For a moment, the silence in the room was so total that Hagen became conscious of the ticking of an elaborate grandfather clock standing against the far wall. Raúl's dark eyes darted from Hagen to Jessie and held. "Jessie LeBaron is dead," he said in quiet astonishment. "I survived the crash of the blimp and torture by General Peter Velikov." Her voice was calm and commanding. "We carry documented evidence that he intends to assassinate you and Fidel tomorrow morning during the Education Day celebration." The directness of the statement, the tone of authority behind it, made an impression on Raúl. He hesitated thoughtfully. Then he nodded. "I'll wake Fidel and ask him to listen to what you have to say." Velikov watched as a file cabinet from his office was jostled onto a handcart and taken by elevator down to the fireproof basement of the Soviet embassy. His second-ranking KGB officer entered the disarranged room, brushed some papers from a chair, and sat down. "Seems a shame to burn all of this," he said tiredly. "A new and finer building will rise from the ashes," said Velikov with a cunning smile. "Gift of a grateful Cuban government." The phone buzzed, and Velikov quickly answered. "What is it?" The voice of his secretary replied, "Major Borchov wishes to talk to you. Put him on." "General?" "Yes, Borchov, what's your problem?" "The captain in command of waterfront security has left his post along with his men and returned to their base outside the city." "They left the ships unguarded?" "Well, not exactly." "Did they or did they not desert their post?" "He claims he was relieved by a guard force under the command of a Colonel Ernesto Perez." "I issued no such order." "I am aware of that, General, because if you had, it would have most certainly come to my attention. Who is this Perez, and what military unit is he assigned to?" "My staff has checked Cuban military files. They find no record of him." "I personally sent Colonel Mikoyan to inspect security measures around the ships. Make contact and ask him what in hell is happening down there." "I've tried to raise him for the past half hour," said Borchov. "He doesn't respond." Another line buzzed, and Velikov placed Borchov on hold. "What is it?" he snapped. "Juan Fernandez. General, I thought you should know that Colonel General Kolchak just arrived for a meeting with Raul Castro." "Not possible." "I checked him through the gate myself." This new development added fuel to Velikov's confusion. A stunned look gripped his face, and he expelled his breath in an audible hiss. He had only 4 hours' sleep in the last 36, and his mind was becoming woolly. "You there, General?" asked Fernandez anxiously at the silence. "Yes, yes. Listen to me, Fernandez. Go to the lodge and find out what Castro and Kolchak are doing. Listen into their conversation and report back to me in 2 hours. He didn't wait for an acknowledgement, but punched into Borchov's line. "Major Borchov, form a detachment and go to the dock area. Lead it yourself. Check out this Perez and his relief force and report back to me as soon as you find out anything." Then Velikov buzzed his secretary. "Get me Colonel General Kolchak's headquarters." His deputy straightened in the chair and stared at him curiously. He had never seen Velikov in a state of nervousness before. "Something wrong?" "I don't know yet," Velikov muttered. The familiar voice of Colonel General Kolchak suddenly burst from the other end of the phone line. "Velikov, how are things progressing with the GRU and KGB?" Velikov stood stunned for several moments before recovering. "Where are you?" "Where am I?" Kolchak repeated. "Trying to clear classified documents and equipment from my headquarters, the same as you. Where did you think I was?" "I just received a report you were meeting with Raul Castro at the hunting lodge." "Sorry, I haven't mastered being in two places at the same time," said Kolchak imperturbably. "Sounds to me your intelligence agents are starting to see ghosts." "Most strange. The report came from a usually reliable source." "Is Rum and Cola in any danger?" "No, it is continuing as planned." "Good. Then I take it the operation is running smoothly." "Yes," Velikov lied, with a fear tainted by uncertainty. "Everything is under control."